What's happening, party people? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and the question on my mind today is, are the Cowboys contenders now? In addition to that, I'll try to answer some other questions. We'll have goosebump moments of the week as usual. First-year interruption with Mike Florio. I'll make my final four picks, and I'll give y'all the goosebump moment of the month? Of the month, yeah. So good show. Just me again. Sorry for y'all who don't want to see my face that much, but who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So are the Cowboys contenders now? Most people would answer no to this question. And I'm going to answer no as well, but let me explain why I'm even asking this question in the first place. Joe Milton has been traded to the Cowboys from the New England Patriots. The full trade is Joe Milton and a 7th round pick in exchange for a 5th round pick. I had to ask the question because Joe Milton has as much talent, as much upside as any most quarterbacks in the league. Everyone saw him ball out in week 18 for the Patriots. And I think if the Cowboys had the balls to start Joe Milton over Dak Prescott, they would be contenders. I do think Joe Milton's that kind of a talent. But I have to answer no to the question because they're not going to start him. They're going to keep starting Dak. So as long as Dak Prescott is a starting quarterback, they are not contenders. But with Joe Milton, I do think they are contenders. But obviously, I have to answer no. Jerry Jones had the balls to make this trade, but he's not going to have the balls to start Joe Milton. It's going to be Dak. In other Cowboys-related news, Trey Lance signed with the Chargers, I think like $6 million, up to $6 million deal, depending on how much he plays. But yeah, Cowboys quarterback news. Keeping their name alive in the offseason. Jerry, seriously, think about it. Start Joe Milton. You guys are instant contenders, just like that. Let's talk some baseball, basketball. Who got suspended? That's the next question. And the answer is a long list because there were a hell of a lot of players that got suspended. Let me start out with there was a ridiculous brawl in the Pistons-Timberwolves. They're calling it a scuffle. And many players were suspended for it. I think some fans even got in the mix. Dante DiVincenzo is kind of in the middle of all of it. But everyone's getting suspended. Dante DiVincenzo is getting suspended for one game. Ron Holland for one game. Naz Reid for one game. And Marcus Sasser all going to be suspended for one game. Guess who the one guy that got suspended for two games is. I'll give you a hint. He's on the Pistons. I'll give you another hint. He likes getting in fights. I'll give you a third hint. His suspension's probably longer because of prior fights. You know, the guys who do it more often get a harsher punishment. If you haven't guessed it by now, you might not know ball, but yes, Isaiah Stewart is the one guy in this brawl that ended up getting a two-game suspension. Why is it always Isaiah Stewart? Why is it Isaiah Stewart trying to, you know, his whole team holding him back? He's trying to go punch LeBron. I don't know. He always finds himself in the middle of these fights. I guess maybe he's the Pistons enforcer, but he kind of embodies the Pistons spirit both, you know, this year and I guess years past. It's always kind of been their culture to be a physical team, you know, play till the whistle or even after it in this case. But yeah, those are the guys who got suspended for the scuffle. Pretty interesting scuffle. So you go look that one up if you have a chance. Who else got suspended? That would be a baseball player for the Atlanta Braves. Outfielder Jerickson Profar has been suspended 80 games for performance enhancing drugs. Looks like we found the reason why Profar had a breakout season at age 31. It was the roids. He was juicing. There's a reason he hit 30 home runs, and that reason is because he was injecting hormones into his bicep leg. I don't know how you do steroids. I hope I never find out. Keep steroids out of baseball. A lot of people would disagree with that take because you get more home runs, but maybe the torpedo bat is where we'll go there. frick the Yankees for doing the torpedo bad. I say frick because I don't want to spend one of these post-it notes on the F-bomb jar. I don't know if I have any singles at the moment. Let's keep the show moving. Who got extended? A lot of people got extended. A lot of people got paid. Trey McBride is the most recent one. He signed a 4-year, $76 million contract with the Arizona Cardinals. That makes him the richest. That makes him the richest tight end in NFL history. Maybe not overall, but I think I saw some sort of stat that said Trey McBride's contract at $76 million is more than Rob Gronkowski's career earnings at $70 million. So, I mean, I think it was well-deserved. You know, I think McBride is one of, if not the best tight end in the league. I'll probably give that title to Brock Bowers, you know, coming off an incredible rookie year. But Trey McBride's right there. He just needs to catch some more touchdown passes. But, yeah, man, great signing for the Cardinals there. I love it. Not maybe as great of a signing for the Raiders, who extended Geno Smith for 2 years, $85 million. I don't understand the extension from the Raiders' perspective. I continue to write off Geno Smith, regardless of whether or not he will write back. But I don't see the need for an extension here. If you're the Raiders, like, you've been in QB purgatory since Derek Carr. Like, why, you know, before he even puts on the Raiders uniform, why give him more years? I guess you want Geno, you want to lock him up long term, but it's not like he's necessarily a hot topic in the free agency discussion. I don't know, kind of a weird move to me. I feel like you try him out this year and see how he plays and go from there, because Raiders are definitely one of those teams, and until they got Geno Smith, were definitely a team that was favored to pick a rookie quarterback in the first round. But evidently they won't be doing that, not at least for another 3 years, where Mr. Geno Smith will be their guy. Let's go through some other extensions. The rest of them are baseball. It looks like Ketel Marte, 6 years, $113 million extension with the Diamondbacks. Well-deserved. One of the best second basemen in baseball. Jackson Merrill signs a... excuse me, I shouldn't burp on the podcast, but Jackson Merrill signs a 6-year, $135 million extension with the Padres, one of the best young pitchers, one of the best young hitters, outfielders in the game. And the other baseball one was the Red Sox are signing Garrett Crochet to a 6-year, $170 million extension. Big money. Red Sox lock in an ace of sorts for years to come. Oh, looks like I did have one more football-related extension. A football coach. That would be Deion Sanders. Coach Prime signs a 5-year, $54 million extension with Colorado. It's interesting. I thought Deion would maybe try to be pushing towards the NFL, but he hasn't shown enough success in college to be an NFL guy yet. Although I still think there's teams that would have taken a chance on him. I think the Cowboys might have went after him. But they didn't, and he'll be at Colorado for the foreseeable future. And that's a perfect segue to my next question. Who's the coach? We had some other coaching news. I'm not going to cover all of it because there's too many coaching newses to cover. But first one I got for you is Texas A&M coach Buzz Williams is hired by Maryland. They're replacing Kevin Willard, who got hired by Villanova. Good hiring for Villanova. I mean, they got the guy, the author of the Crab Five, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if Willard, how much recruiting he did for that. But, yeah, Willard kind of left in a really weird way before going to Villanova, kind of talking about, you know, we need more resources. We need more players. Well, he got them, and those resources and players are in Villanova. So bye-bye, Willard. Hello, Buzz. Buzz will be Maryland's coach. I'll have to update y'all when we find out who Texas A&M ends up hiring to replace Buzz. Last bit of who's the coach answer is, I don't know. I'm going to have to Google it now because the Memphis Grizzlies have fired their coach, Taylor Jenkins. Definitely a weird time to fire him. You're a top 5 team. I forget the exact standings, but you know, they're near top 5 team in the West. But yeah, who is their interim coach? It is a name that is impossible to pronounce. Tuomas Isalo. Tuomas Isalo is the coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. Probably should have written that down before I answered the question. But yeah, weird firing. I don't know. Maybe I've heard people say it could be he wasn't a good culture fit. You know, he didn't relate to the players well. We'll see if Mr. Tuomas Isalo from Finland will relate better than Taylor Jenkins. But that's TBD. He's only the interim. I'm sure they will hire a new guy next year. The rest of the news is my last question. What's the other news? We had a number of players elected to the Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame. Carmelo Anthony highlights this list. He's probably the best player to get elected. Although, Dwight Howard might have a word about that. Dwight Howard was also elected to the Hall of Fame, along with Sue Bird. And that's where I should have led. Sue Bird, comparatively, you know, her career, she had a better career than Dwight and Carmelo, I think, comparatively in the WNBA. Another WNBA Hall of Famer is now Maya Moore. Shout out Maya Moore. I'm not as familiar with your game as Sue Bird. And then the other Hall of Fame induction I wrote down was Billy Donovan. I believe that's the coach who led the back-to-back Gators to championships in basketball. So, yeah, well-deserved there. Congratulations on all of our Hall of Famers. In other news, Donovan Dent is transferring to UCLA. He's a star player at New Mexico, led him to that upset of Marquette. So UCLA gets a good one. UCLA trying to rebuild their basketball team to their former glory. In bad news, we've got LaMelo Ball. Unfortunately, he is done for the year. He had apparently only just a minor wrist surgery, a minor ankle surgery, but he's done for the year. I mean, Hornets were out of the playoffs. Feels like months ago, so smart to keep your guy healthy there. Other news, we got some retirements. We have two-time MVP, one-time WNBA champion Elena Deladon retiring. Happy travels, Elena. You are a legend. Another legend who retired is Julio Jones, the Falcons legend. It's brought to my attention. He had one of the greatest catches that no one remembers, that sideline grab against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. That was a pretty damn good catch, the toe tap catch. But no one remembers that catch because, you know, we know what happened. 28-3, Patriots end up winning that game. That's all the news. Last thing I got before we get to first year interruption with Mike Florio is Juju Watkins. I don't owe y'all an apology, but I wanted to make a correction here. Last week, I talked about Juju Watkins tearing her ACL and her being out for the year, and I talked about whether or not she'll still go number one if she's still a lottery pick. I'm dumb. I later realized that she's not even eligible for the draft. She has to play another 2 years in college to even be eligible. So I do think I was right on my take that she still should go number one. I do think she still will go number one. Obviously, that all hinges on her recovery from her ACL tear. But yeah, the lesson here is that I'm dumb and all my takes should be taken with a grain of salt. But yeah, my apologies, Juju. I'm looking forward to 2 years from now when you're in the WNBA. You will be the Magic to Caitlin Clark's Larry Bird. I don't know why I had to choose the same races there, but I thought it was a good comparison. You know, those are the two guys who kind of built the NBA, and that's who we think is going to build the WNBA here. No disrespect to miss the real number one overall pick, which will be Paige Beckers after UConn maybe pulls the upset against South Carolina. I don't know. I haven't been making women's picks, but yeah, give me UConn in that game. South Carolina been winning too much, although UConn been winning for even longer. Man, I don't want either of those teams to win. I hate the favorites. I want more Cinderellas. This March Madness had none of them. But let's get to first year interruption. Today's first year interruption is with Mr. Mike Florio. I'm wearing a Browns jersey, a Jameis Winston Browns jersey. That's right. not on the Browns anymore. I'm not gonna buy a Jameis Winston Giants jersey. I just figured Jameis Winston Browns is kind of a timeless look. First interruption with Mike Florio. I wanted it to be with the Browns, I believe, owner or GM Jimmy Haslam, because he had a bombshell quote where basically he owned up to it and he took blame and he said, "We missed. We missed when we trade for Deshaun Watson. We made the wrong move." I think the quote I found was probably him telling a reporter, so there's no video of it, and that would have been such a delicious video to watch, to look a man in the eye and say, "I made the worst deal in NFL history." But unfortunately, we don't get to hear him say it, so I'll just have Mike Florio talk about it and explain this better than my dumb ass can. So here's first interruption with Mr. Mike Florio.
Yesterday, he finally did it. Jimmy Haslam, Browns owner, finally admitted.
Amazing.
That they made a mistake.
Yeah.
With Deshaun Watson 3 years ago. I don't know that you come out and admit it, though, while the guy's still on the team. I mean, you admit it by benching him. You admit it by not playing him. To come out and say what he said, and he said this: "We took a big swing and a miss with Deshaun. We thought we had the quarterback. We didn't. And we gave up a lot of draft picks to get him and a lot of money. So we've got to dig ourselves out of that hole. It was an entire organization decision, and it ends with D and I, so hold us accountable." Now look, okay, I accept your offer, Jimmy Haslam, to hold you accountable. How do you hold an owner accountable? There is no way to hold an owner of a team accountable. What can you do? What can you do? Make him sell the team? The fans are not going to deny themselves. We say this all the time. You're not going to deprive yourself of the thing you love. You're not going to stop going to the games. You're not going to stop watching the games. You love the Cleveland Browns, and you accept them warts and all. There is no way to hold an owner accountable. You hold a GM accountable by firing him, a coach accountable by firing him, a player accountable by getting rid of him. There's no way to hold an owner accountable.
No,
so it's just words.
I hear you. They're words to a degree, but I give them credit. I mean, there's been other owners that have had bad contracts, done bad, made bad decisions. They didn't own it like that. I'll give them credit for that. I really will.
I don't know. Should we give Jimmy Haslam credit for saying this out loud? I don't think so. I'm with Mike Florio. I think, I guess props to you for being honest and, you know, telling everyone that, yes, you did make the worst trade in NFL history. You made a mistake. But at the same time, to say it when the guy's still on the team is insanity. How do you think? Well, no one cares how Deshaun Watson thinks or feels, because, you know, people hate him because he's a sexual massage deviant. So people don't really have any sympathy for Deshaun Watson, and probably for good reason. Jimmy Haslam, weird move to say it while he's still on the team. At least wait until you cut him, then maybe say it. But now, what are you going to do now? You know what I think they're going to do, actually. And I don't think it's going to work out that well, but obviously they don't have confidence in Watson. They just have a lot of money invested in him. What they'll probably do, and it's probably the wrong move, unfortunately, they're probably going to draft Shedeur Sanders at pick 2. On my big board, my mock draft board, I have the Titans taking Cam Ward. I just think that's the smartest move for them, and I think Cam Ward is going to be great. I think Shedeur Sanders could be great, but I think Shedeur needs the right situation, and Cleveland is sort of where quarterbacks' careers go to die. The only guy who survived Cleveland was Baker Mayfield, and they almost killed him on his way out. For Shador's sake, I hope he goes somewhere other than Cleveland, but that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders 1-2, and I don't know. I don't have high hopes for Shedeur if he were to be drafted by the Cleveland Browns, unfortunately. Let's get to a new segment, a segment I've never done before, and one I'm doing out of a little bit of embarrassment, out of apology, as an act of contrition. It's the goosebump moment of the month. Of the month? Yes. It's only one moment. There's no top 10 goosebump moments of the month. I still got a top 10 goosebump moments of the week, but I had to add the moment of the month in an effort to apologize to the women of Wisconsin, to the women's hockey team of Wisconsin, who just won a national championship. They won a national title. I saw it, but I forgot about it. In an instant classic, they had two goals. You know, one with 18 seconds left to send it to OT, and then the game winner in OT. Those are both top 10 moments, probably number one in most weeks. So I'm going to give them the best moment of the month. I mean, a walk-off in the championship. How do you beat that? So it should have been number one of these weeks, and I missed it, and I'm sorry. And for that, I've written a letter. I wrote a letter in an effort to apologize. So here it is. Dear Wisconsin women, women in general, and Kirsten Sims most of all, I regret to inform y'all that I mistakenly neglected to include the Badger women hockey national title game moments from a game that was an all-time classic. The two clutch goals from Kirsten Sims are moments that will live forever. In an effort to apologize for forgetting to include it in the top 10, in a week that it should have been number one, I would like to award Kirsten with the goosebump moment of the month. And I hope it can start to make up for the mistake I've made. With my deepest contrition, Matt K. Maurer. So let's get into it. Goosebump moment of the month. It starts out with a weird play. It looks like Ohio State saves it, but they broke some hockey rules that I'm not familiar with. Let's just watch it.
6-on-4. Edwards again. Edwards loads up for a shot. Oh, another save. This time on Wesnevich.
So they got
She's
the save.
She's covering the puck in the crease, and it would be a penalty shot. So
right.
That's what they're
but
looking at.
But you can't
right now,
cover
right
it in the crease. I knew that.
Which it looks like she did so. Right there.
After review, we have a successful coach's challenge.
Yeah, so now we get to shoot a penalty.
Oh, like
okay.
Has,
and Kirsten. Here we go, Kirsten.
Here is Sims moving in on Teeley to try to tie the championship game. Oh, what a move! She does!
Ice in her veins. The fact that coach says, who wants this? She says she wants it. She comes in and slows down a little bit here.
Poised pass out to center for Eden.
Sweeping down. Here's the game winner, baby.
Looking, fired, save me, rebound,
score! National champs, dynasty, Kirsten Sims. Remember the name. What's up with it, Kirsten? You are an absolute legend. That is men's or women's, that is one of the greatest performances, especially in a championship game. The penalty to send it to OT, and then the game winner in OT. Kirsten Sims, you will live forever. Is there a WNHL? Because I feel like I should start getting into that, because I still feel really bad about that. But let's get past my disgusting burps and get to the goosebump moments of the week. Starting off at number 10, we got some hometown flavor. We got Mr. Bryce Terang with the walk-off bunt. Yes, the walk-off bunt for my Brewers. The safety squeeze, bro.
Be alive here. You might see a squeeze. You might see a safety squeeze. Who knows? Terang with really good back control. Done with good speed.
All right, let's see how it plays out. Long is ready. And Terang does square. Gets a bunt down. Here comes Dunn. He scores! A squeeze bunt walk-off for Bryce Terang. And the Brewers win 3-2 at 11.
Number 9, Kyle Stowers walks it off for the Marlins on opening day. Number 8, Dane Myers walks it off for the Marlins again. Again, the Marlins.
Myers swings, fly ball in the air, right center field. This is going to do it. It's a
ground rule double
win for the Marlins.
There's some March magic in Miami.
Number 7, Shohei Ohtani's walk-off dinger keeps the Dodgers undefeated.
High fly ball to center field. Harris is back. Ohtani.
Ladies and gentlemen, embrace this. Embrace this man. Embrace this team this season.
Number 6, Mookie Betts hits a walk-off moonshot homer.
Betts.
Dodgers.
Golfs one left field and turns out the lights. He rings the bell with a 3-run walk-off home run.
Number 5, Cameron Meisner's first career home run is a walk-off.
A long drive deep to right. That baby's gone.
Sanders sends him home.
Number four, Darian Williams with the post moves to win it for Texas Tech. Williams
corkscrews up, off, and down. It's a two-point lead.
Here it is again. Look at Williams. Drop steps back to that left shoulder, uses that strength.
Number three, Anthony Davis with a crazy floater to win it.
And it's Anthony Davis driving through it.
Really?
It's
crazy.
It's not a walk-off yet, but it's a two-point lead.
Number two, Milos Uzan's game winner sends Houston to the Elite Eight.
Gets it in, gets it back, and he puts it in.
Beautiful play design.
And now the officials will stop the clock to examine exactly how much time is left.
Number one moment of the week, Josh Giddey hits nothing but net at the buzzer from half court. Pure. My Lakers lose.
Timeout.
Shit.
2 seconds left. Giddey for the win. Go!
Oh my God. I cannot believe this. Elizabeth, I'm coming, baby.
Impossible!
Magic Giddey, good day, mate. Somewhere in Australia, Sydney or Melbourne, Paul Hogan is somewhere here, Crocodile Dundee. Oh, Lord.
Damn it. Damn it. That is a horrible way for the Lakers to lose. That came, I think, a game after LeBron hit a buzzer beater to win it. Holy shit, Josh Giddey. What a shot. That is one of the purest shots I've ever seen on a half court shot. It was regular shooting form. Most of the time it's a heave. Giddey put up a regular shot, held his hand there, and swished the half court shot. I mean, man, that is a brutal way to lose, especially considering we were up 9 with like a minute to go, and crazy sequence of events happens. I should have probably included some of those, but none that would top Josh Giddey's half court shot. So yeah, I got to move past my Lakers pain so we can finish out the show here with my final four picks. I'll make it quick. Give me Florida minus 2.5. I think they cover. I think they're a juggernaut. Walter Clayton Jr. is a psychopath. I probably should have put that in the top 10. I don't know if any of y'all saw Walter Clayton's shot last week. He dribbled from in the lane backwards and shot a disgusting three, made it, and they beat Texas Tech. Sorry, that should have been top 10. That's a miss on me. You're not going to be getting an apology letter like Kirsten Sims got, though, nor will I include it at all. I'm talking about it now, so I don't know. Walter Clayton Jr. definitely does not watch the show, so he doesn't give a fuck. But yeah, give me Walter Clayton in Florida to beat Auburn. Auburn's the number one overall seed, but Florida's the hottest team in the nation, hands down. Best offense in the nation, I'd argue, although Mr. Cooper Flagg and Duke would have a word about that. But I'll have a word with them, because in the Duke-Houston game, I'm going to take Houston money line. I could take the points, but I'm tripling down on my Houston future. Not even tripling, quadrupling, septupling, octupling down out of my bracket has been broken forever, but I'm maintaining that I like my championship pick of Houston. The one team left that has defense and no, that's not even true. They're all one seeds. I hate this season. No Cinderellas. All one seeds in the finals. But at least, you know, my bracket's not totally busted because I do have my champion left. So give me Houston money line plus 195. Those are the odds I got via Fliff. Fliff, please sponsor me. But yeah, Florida minus 2.5. Houston money line. And in the championship game Monday night, I like Houston. Give me Houston money line over Florida. Florida will probably be a couple point favorites in that game. But yeah, give me Houston money line, whatever the odds are in that game. I have Houston beating Florida. And an all-time classic that'll have Florida saying, "Houston, you have a problem." And his name is LJ Crier.